So if you've been following along with the way we do training in total immersion and with Meditera, we know that controlling your attention, directing your attention onto something that you're controlling in your body is the way that you affect improvement in your technique. And you may have picked up along the way that paying attention, directing your attention, having an assignment for your attention while you're practicing is also a way to make time go by, to make the time spent swimming and training more enjoyable because your attention is occupied by something productive, not merely, you know, daydreaming or listening to music or doing something else, but you're paying attention to something and working on something that's making swimming better for you. So, you know, there are those roles that we have for paying attention in our training. But the thing that I want to point out to you today is something that I emphasize when I'm working with people who are afraid of water. Those people who feel either consciously they feel strong fear or they have just a level of anxiety when they're in the water, that paying attention is also the way that you have a better way of keeping your body calm, your body and your mind calm, and a lot more peaceful than it would be otherwise. Because as you may have heard, the phrase that a wandering mind is an unhappy mind. So there's some science behind that that indicates that's revealed that when the mind is just left to wander, it tends to go towards negative things. And then if you add stress onto the human, onto the organism, then that wandering mind will go towards, you know, more stressful, more negative thoughts. And obviously we want our time in the water and our training to be pleasant. We want it to be satisfying. We want it to be productive. So paying attention is one of the primary ways that we create a more positive and pleasant mental experience while we're doing a practice that's giving our body a physical experience. So when I'm working with somebody who's feeling fear, the thing is, the brain has limited attention span. It has limited attention bandwidth. So you can only pay attention to so many things at one time. Actually, just a few things. Maybe at best, maybe two things. So I like to think of the brain having these two channels. You know, we've got two halves of the brain. So we can think of the brain having two channels, two types of things that it can be paying attention to at the same time and possibly integrating together. And so if we can occupy those two channels with something that we've assigned in the activity, then that doesn't really leave any room left in the swimmer's brain to be thinking about other things, to be wandering off into other directions. So the body, you know, a fearful person or an anxious person in the water, their body is going to be responding. It's going to be feeling these triggers. It's going to be producing some anxiety sensations. But that's just the first part. When it's kicked up higher parts of the brain where their conscious mind is thinking, that's another brain activity. And so by occupying that conscious part of the brain with focusing on what's happening in the stroke or accomplishing some sort of task, especially with external focal points, you know, focusing on what you're doing with the water or traveling a certain distance or getting or reaching for an object on the bottom of the pool or counting while you're exhaling air, all these sort of things are bringing attention onto the task at hand so that the mind isn't going to sit there and ruminate on the discomfort that the body is experiencing at that moment. Now, we're not merely trying to ignore the sensations that are happening in the body. We're also trying to give time for the body to have repeated experiences of being in the water, holding the breath, floating, whatever, that end up with positive outcomes. See, part of the reason the brain is, the body is afraid of the water and feeling anxious is it's not convinced it's going to be safe. Either they've had a traumatic experience when they were younger or previously, or they just never learned to be at home in the water, that their body's like, hey, you're a land mammal, you shouldn't be in here, get out of here, you weren't safe here before, you're not gonna be safe here again. And so by being with that person in the water and then going into these very small, incrementally challenging little tasks, we're putting that swimmer into a position that they feel slightly uncomfortable with, but then we are doing that over and over so that the brain and the body has a chance to see that, hey, look, we've held the breath and nothing bad happened. Look, we've held the breath and we've exhaled. We have something we can do to actually make it feel better. And you do that over and over, and after a while, the body and the brain start to go relax a bit because it's starting to have a pattern now of positive outcomes to start competing with the memory or the body memory or the conscious memory of a traumatic experience that they had previously. So we're creating options in the menu. It's not just water means bad. That's not the only option anymore. They have a new option on the menu that says, oh yes, at one time the water was bad, but now I have experiences that tell me also the water can be good. But we're gonna do that kind of on a subconscious level. So if we take the swimmer and they're occupied with the task, with stretching out and counting, with holding their breath or exhaling, with maybe taking gentle strokes towards an object, if they are doing that with their conscious mind, then meanwhile, the subconscious part of the body and brain is monitoring the sensations in the body, but also noticing that it's doing this activity that previously felt threatening and it's no longer bringing harm. They see that the threat is not as bad as they thought it was. So we want to occupy the attention with something that's positive and productive, and that will help the swimmer gradually become more and more calm and comfortable in the water. So if you're listening to this, it's probably most of the people I'm working with are not, they don't express that they're afraid of water in any way, so it's probably you, but there's some of you who are afraid of water. So right there, that just explains to you why we want to get in the water and pick an activity and then give your mind something to focus on, a part of your body or an external focal point, something you're interacting with the water or with the edge of the pool or the bottom or the lane line or something, that you have something to focus on, and that'll help you be more calm. But now for those of you who feel quite competent in the water, no sense of fear or anxiety in the body, it doesn't feel stressful, the thing is, this is the same thing that's also going to help you stay calm if you ever found yourself in an emergency or a danger situation in the water. So I know of a swimmer friend, she was in Greece vacationing and she was swimming along the coast, and she decided to swim out further and around this rock and back. The next thing she knows, you know, after many minutes of swimming, she noticed that she was swimming with a current and it was pulling her way down the beach or around this rocky thing, and all of a sudden she's like, oh no, I don't know if I can swim back against the current. And so she felt the fear rise up of being stuck out there, not being able to get back to where she started. And that obviously could be very frightening, and it should be, because it's, you know, potentially dangerous situation. Well, she was able to apply this, that she just turned around, she put herself into swimming, you know, into a specific mode of how she was going to swim into this current, and she just stayed focused on particular aspects of her stroke. She just stayed in the moment. She made this stroke do just what she wanted, then the next stroke do just what she wanted, then the next stroke, and then the next stroke, and she just gradually worked her way back up against that current and around the point and back to where she started safely. So that's a good, you know, an example of how she used her practice of directing attention onto something positive and productive to keep herself collected and to give herself a task to do that could take her towards safety. So if you imagine being out in a boat and it sinks or something, or you find yourself a lot further from shore than you intended, or you're in a race and the weather kicks up and it's really rough now and all these other people are starting to have a terrible time, you're in position to be a lot more calm and competent at dealing with that situation if you have practiced and have a habit and strength for directing your attention onto some positive and productive feature of your swimming. So you keep yourself in what Coach Terry used to call that calm, the cocoon of calm, where you are staying, keeping attention on something that you can control that affects your well-being, and not paying attention to all the things that you can't control that could potentially overwhelm you in that situation. So I've spoken on this previously, but paying attention to things that are positive and productive is on the same spectrum, both from keeping yourself calm when you're afraid to also provoking more enjoyment in your normal training and, you know, when you're under more difficult training, more strenuous training. It's the same thing. It's the same technique that's going to help you be calm and collected in difficult, in dangerous situations, and going to have more enjoyment when you're under just normal training and swimming and racing. All right? So hopefully that is giving you some insight and some encouragement to keep practicing attention so that it's available to you when you need it.